Blog Talk Radio.
Greg Parks and I are having everyone over for the holidays. We're going to have senior Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Bruce Mitchell. We're going to have legendary podcaster and Ring of Honor color commentator Colt Cabana. And yes, the long-awaited return of Hurricane Helms to the show. It is Sunday, November 26, 2017, and Wrestling Night in America starts now. And hello, you people. Welcome back inside the PW Torch Livecast studios. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Pat McNeil, and I am joined by my co-host, who is also a Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, Mr. Greg Parks. Greg, welcome back. Happy Sunday.
Yes, happy Sunday indeed, Pat.
Yeah, so a crazy night, crazy weekend. Let's just go ahead and bring on our first guest. Stand back, there's a hurricane coming through. It's Hurricane Helms. Welcome back, Hurricane.
Hey, man, thanks for having me, man. Good to hear from you guys again.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So, did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I had a great weekend. We just wrapped up WrestleCade, which is a big event in North Carolina, held by a group called AML. They're a top-notch
yep.
group. They work really hard to do this big event, and it's getting bigger and bigger every year, which is awesome. You know, I wrestled twice, signed a ton of autographs, so it was a very very successful weekend.
Oh yeah, I was at WrestleCade a few years back. I want to go back. You know, it's just been crazy holiday weekend and all that. But we're glad you are here, and part of the reason we have you on is we want to get your thoughts and observations after being part of WrestleCade weekend. It's a show so big that WWE went and created a custom house show just to compete with it.
Yeah, I mean, that says something. You know, there's a message there. But, you know, competition is good for the business.
That's true. It is. And then now, how many people were there for the main show?
Oh, I couldn't give you an attendance number. I'm actually terrible with that anyway. I've always have been. When I look out at the crowd, it could be 1,000 or 10,000. I can hardly, you know, I'm never good with that. If I was the money guy, you know, if I was the promoter, I would be able to check you the bet.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
there
were a lot of people, especially the Friday show was packed. Then Saturday, they did a early morning signing with a show in the afternoon, too, and I mean, it was swamped in it. There was a ton of people, so I couldn't give you a number, but it was a bunch.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's like you said, it gets bigger every year, and they put on a better. I mean, from the looks of the lineup, it looks like they put on a better Bound for Glory than Impact did this year. But with the big championship match.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been too difficult to do, though.
Well, yeah. Okay, so but congratulations on winning the Top Rope Belts Battle Royal, by the way.
Yeah, you know, but I did get chokeslammed by Hornswoggle, so I underestimated his power. You know, so that's on me. I did underestimate the power of Hornswoggle. but it was good, you know. The belt is beautiful. You know, that Top Rope Belts company, I think I post a lot of their stuff. I mean, yeah. They really do great work, you know, so it was very, very cool.
Oh, absolutely. So what was the, out of everybody this weekend, who are you the most pleased that you got to reconnect with?
I actually got to see Ivory and Mighty Molly. We actually took a picture together. You know, I think it's the first time the three of us have been together in a long, long time. You know, because I'm so active, you know, just I see a lot of people anyway, you know, so they were probably the only two I hadn't seen in quite a while. So there was actually a couple of people that I missed because, like I said, the convention was so packed. There were people, you know, if you leave your table for 5 minutes, you know, you might not ever come back because, you know, it takes a long time to get to the crowd. And then, you know how wrestlers are. Once we get together and start talking, we can't just talk for like 2 minutes. It has to turn into 30 minutes into an hour every combo. So you kind of need to stick at your table. So there's a lot of people I missed, but, you know, talking to Jim Cornette is always insane. You know, I love him to death. And everybody, you know, Al Snow, you know, we were discussing aging stories from TNA, which is pretty funny. Just a lot of room.
Good times. Greg, you had a question for Hurricane?
Yeah, you talked about Hurricane, some of the folks you were able to reconnect with. You know, on this weekend when there are so many stars from the past together and really stars of the future, was there anyone that caught your eye that fans should keep an eye on for the future as far as up-and-coming wrestlers?
Just me.
Well, yeah,
okay.
Obviously. you've really got to warn me before you do that next time, Hurricane.
There's a lot of good talent out there. I know Wildcat, which is a group out of Louisiana, their champion is a guy that's really talented. And, you know, I'm terrible with names. I have to meet somebody 30 times before I can remember the name, but he's really super talented. You know, and I want to give a little plug to Juventud Guerrero, too. Like, man, when he is on, that dude is as good as ever. You know, he is, he's still got it, man. And, I mean, there's a lot of people. You know, I'm always impressed when I see the TV guys that don't call it in, you know, because there are a lot that do. You know, when I say TV guys, I'm talking about somebody that had a good run on TV and now they're doing the indies. But I've seen a number of those guys go out there and they kind of half-ass it a little bit, which is, you know, that's up to them. You know, they're allowed to do that, I'm sure, of course. But I like to see guys go out there and still bust their ass. I like to see Tommy Dreamer going out there and working hard. You know, that brings a newfound respect to me, to people that I already respected anyway. But I always like seeing that.
Yeah, no, it's. I mean, it was very much a loaded show Saturday. Okay, so now you wrestle actually throughout America. What other companies are you involved with here coming up towards Christmas?
I think next week I'm in Chicago. There's a group called AAW, I believe is what it's called out of Chicago. It's really, pretty hot. I'll be working Trevor Lee there. I'm going to Malaysia in December and going to Newfoundland, which is, Eastern Canada. And that's all in December.
Jim Cornette has some stories about working out there. Yeah.
Oh, really? Did he drive or fly?
I think he flew with W. Actually, I think it was like New Brunswick. So maybe that's
because
not
he hates flying. Yeah. We had a long conversation about that this weekend. I tried to get to the bottom of it, and I think that what I figured out is he's just a bundle of craziness that is, which is part of what makes him awesome too. So
okay, that seems fair. All right, so AAW, Newfoundland, Malaysia. Now, you know, you always got to be careful when you take the overseas tours. You know, you're not walking down a blind alley with Power Udi or something.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, you know. But I mean, honestly, it's pretty volatile walking down the streets of America too. So I think you got to take
true.
Chances anywhere.
That's true. I mean, it's more like, well, I'm thinking more about, you know, making sure you get covered after making the trip. But, yeah, that's good. All right, so let's see. So what is the most popular merchandise item that the Hurricane has?
Right now, I got a new shirt, Planet of the Capes. shirt that's selling pretty hot. So I'm very happy with that. You know, I don't really do replicas of my mask because my mask costs a couple $100 a piece to make. So I'm more of a T-shirt and 8x10 guy. You know, with me, especially because I do all my autograph signings in full gimmick, for me it's more about the photo op. That's what fans generally want from me. You know, and this week at WrestleCade, you know, I don't always take the WCW Cruiserweight title with me. I keep that at home. But I got the only one that there ever was. You know, the one that myself.
Wait, hold on. They never asked for it back?
No, and I mentioned this. I'll bring it to you, and they just gave it to me. So I said, okay, cool.
All right. Thanks.
And so I'll take that to a, if it's close by, you know, like the travel with things that are that heavy, because I always keep the Hurricane belt with me because fans love that, and it kind of fits the outfit a little bit. And so, I had the WCW Cruiserweight title, so a lot of people, you're kind of marking out for over that, which is cool. But the Planet of the Cape shirt that's the one that's the hot seller right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Understandable. The number is 515-605-9345. And, yes, apparently we have people who want to talk to Hurricane Helms. Hurricane, do you want to test the waters with our callers?
Sure, let's go ahead.
Okay, we're going to kick things off in the 814 area code. 814, I think I know who this is. Please state your name and town, and welcome to Wrestling Night in America.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi. First question I have for the Hurricane is, I know you wrestled Kevin Thorne, wrestled Kate in a battle royal. Do you think he's improved enough that if they brought back the Mordecai character, that maybe that character would work a lot better now than what it did about over 10 years ago?
I don't know if I'd bring back the white eyebrows and the white hair or anything like that, but... I mean, Kevin's a talented guy, you know, so he's definitely talented enough to come back and do another run for sure. I'm not sure if I would go with the Mordecai route, but.
There's a huge opening. There's a huge opening for Mordecai merchandise out there, I'm sure.
I mean, unless now, you know, they got that little gimmick they do with the KFC. So if you got Colonel Sanders out there all dressed in white, he needs some backup. Mordecai gimmick might fit in well with that.
Okay. There we go.
See what I did there?
I like what you did there. You're thinking ahead. Like 3D chess. Okay. Go on, Ryan.
My second question is about Crazy Steve. I heard he's legally blind. Is that difficult for him to work in a battle royal like that?
Is it what?
Under his conditions? I thought Crazy Steve was legally blind. Is that just a rumor? Because I thought that would make it difficult for him to work a battle royal.
I mean, I don't know what the actual classification of the site is. I mean, he's not totally blind, and I've been in the ring with him several times, and he's he's always where he needs to be, and can apparently do some stuff. But yeah, I mean, his vision is definitely not 20/20. Battle royals are dangerous for everybody. That's the most dangerous. Like an independent battle royal is the most dangerous match in wrestling, especially if you got a bunch of young guys in there, like elbows are flying around, you know, there'll be guys like trying to do superplexes and running spots in a battle royal with 20 other guys. I've seen more people hurt in battle royals than I've seen in any other match.
You know what, Greg, this leads me to an idea here, and see if you're with me on this.
Okay.
There's a lot of gimmicks out there in the indies, but we do not have the legally blind wrestler gimmick. You know, the guy comes to the ring with his service dog, you know, he takes removes the cane. It takes off his glasses, starts doing the Daredevil stuff from Netflix. You know, I suppose
every match would be a blindfold match in that case for that wrestler at least. And it didn't turn out so well for Jake Roberts and Rick Martel back in the day.
Oh no, no. Okay, I'm sorry, Ryan. Carry on.
Yeah, and my final question for you is on PJ Black. How did he look at the WrestleCade? Because I heard he lost a bunch of fingers and was in a pretty serious accident not too long ago, according to Dave Meltzer, I believe.
He lost a bunch of fingers. I mean, I was talking to him. I didn't notice that he had any fingers missing. It seems like I would have noticed, but maybe I just wasn't looking at it.
Yeah, I subscribed to that website, and I don't remember reading anything about out of losing a bunch of fingers.
That was on one of the podcasts.
He only got 10 fingers, so a bunch would have to, it would, I think, would be noticeable if I would have seen that. But, You know, I mean, I was kind of talking to his face, not his hands, so I didn't notice it. But he went out and had a good match, and so he looked fine to me.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem. No problem. Thank you, Ryan. And as Ryan drops off, that opens up a line for you.
Bye-bye.
At 515-605-9345. We're about due for a break, and, you know, last I didn't get the email in time, Greg, but I have to tell you a few words about our sponsor over at Harry's, harrys.com. They sell shaving products, they razors. They sell they sell razors, they sell blades, they sell fine quality shaving gel, and yes, they did send me a packet, Greg, and I gotta say, you know, their razors, they're at least better than Schick or Gillette. I got a nice clean close shave, and I'm not really a neckbeard guy, so it comes in very handy.
I got it as well, Pat, and I tried it out, and I'm almost embarrassed to say I've always used an electric razor. So this is the first time,
really,
just using a regular razor that I've ever used. And I mean, the difference between an electric razor and this kind of razor is out of this world as far as closeness of shave and everything like that. I would highly recommend it.
Anyway, let's see. Harry's is so confident, listeners, that you're going to love their blades. They will give you a trial shave set for free when you sign up now at harrys.com/pwtorch. You pay for the shipping, but you get a $13 value absolutely free. Now, if you're asking why Harry's, well, Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price. And, Greg, did you know that over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's?
I did not know that.
Well, now you do. Harry's was started by Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys who were fed up with buying overpriced razors. And they started Harry's to fix shaving. And I don't know why they call it Harry's, because neither of them are named Harry's. I guess Jeff and Andy's didn't work out. They bought their own German factory with over 100 years of blade-making experience to ensure the highest quality. All products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. And Harry's offers their blades to you at half the price of the leading 5-blade razors, selling directly to you over the Internet. That's harrys.com. Go to harrys.com/pwtorch and get your free trial shave set. Do it now. And we'll be back with more of Wrestling Night in America following this.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Livecast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes, places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
Wrestling Night in America returns here on PWTorchLiveCast.com. The number is 515-605-9345. We're talking at the moment with Hurricane Helms, legendary former WCW Cruiserweight Champion, former WWE World Tag Team Champion. And coming up in our next half hour, a fellow by the name of Colt Cabana. He also used to wrestle for WWE. We probably will be asking him about other stuff like his new children's book. But anyway, we are back with the Hurricane. Hurricane, it wouldn't be fair if I didn't ask you about the big hot wrestling rumor of the weekend, which is that WWE is in contact with Dave Bautista about making a return to the promotion. I imagine that Batista's price has gone up since he's a colossal movie star now. You worked with Dave. What are your thoughts about him possibly making a comeback?
I mean, it's pretty exciting, you know. I mean, for me personally, because I know Dave and like Dave. But yeah, I got to agree with you. I mean, I would imagine that to get him to come back on a full time basis. I can't imagine it being full time, you know. But I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice to see. You know, I mean, I like star power, you know, that always helps, brings a little outside attention to the product. So, and Dave can go. So, I'm all for it.
Okay, yeah. And I think that's the dream now. The dream is not to be, you know, a full-time WWE wrestler. The dream is to be successful enough that you only have to work part-time.
I mean, I guess when people call it part-time, you know, but you see that with boxers and MMA, and nobody called them part-timers, you know. That's just something the fans made up to piss and moan about certain guys. Well, I really don't believe that, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying that if you have other – if you have other stuff like, say, a TV series that you're working on in addition to working for WWE or movies or something like that.
If that's what you want to do. Like, I mean, there are people that, you know, don't do that, and they're just as happy. There are people that are working full-time and just as happy, too. So it's just up to the individual. You know, I mean, I think I talked about when it wasn't you guys, but I did several podcasts talking about certain guys that have left WWE, and I think when Neville Astro was released or whatever the deal was with that. And it's just like, if you're happy, stay. And if you're not, then, you know, go find something that does make you happy. Because, you know, at the end of the day, it's your life. And if you're not happy, the money's only going to make you so happy. That just buys you things, you know. You know, so if you're not happy, find something else to do, because one life. I mean, that's as simple as it gets.
All right. Greg, I hate to break in, but we have breaking news, Greg, sent to us by our man. Yes, I'm pretty sure this is from Ryan from Cumberland, who sent us the news story that PJ Black was injured in a base jumping accident and lost a finger. Not a handful of fingers, a finger, according to the and this is back in the month of June.
That is very different than a couple of things.
Yeah, just a slight difference, but the story was based on something. So, okay.
I think it's a bunch of fingers.
Yes, so we can confirm that it's not a bunch of fingers. But apparently losing one was not noticeable enough that it distracted the hurricane.
I did not notice at all. I did not notice nine-finger PJ Black.
We really get to the bottom of these hard-hitting news stories here on Wrestling Night in America, I got to tell you.
That's what we do. That is what we're all about here. Let's see. They just also, we got results from Queens of Combat at WrestleCade. Were you actually there for that show, Hurricane?
No, that was today, and I left around lunchtime to come back home.
Okay, well, you'll be thrilled to know that Sue Young is still the Queens of Combat champion, having defeated Samantha Heights and Mickey Knuckles in a three-way. And Allie won her match.
I am thrilled to hear that.
Allie won her match, and LeFisto beat Rachel Ellering. Okay, well, that's not bad at all. All right, let's see. Okay, in addition to, let me think here. Okay, so what are your thoughts? I mean, we always end up getting to this at one point or another. What were your thoughts about Survivor Series and the two nights to follow? Because, you know, Greg and I did, you know, followed Survivor Series, and it's a 5.5-hour show. And I just think that, you know, there's no way that you can sit through all 5.5 hours and you know, pay attention and, you know, not notice some dead spots or just, you know, I just don't think fans can be just jacked the whole 5.5 hours in a row.
Oh, yeah, of course not. There's nothing I want to watch for 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
No, just absolutely nothing. There's a reason movies are 2 to 2.5 hours long. And every now and then you can have that Lord of the Rings epic movie that's 3 hours, but that's just every now and then. And it has to be really good to keep you for 3 hours. 3 hours is the max. You know, when you get into these 4 or 5, you know, hour shows, man, like, that's tough. Like, I don't know. I really feel like you're just exhausted. Like, you're never going to have the emotion at the end or the energy you have at the end like you would at the end of a 2, 2.5 hour show. You're just not going to.
And I wonder, I always wonder how much of that is deliberate. If people are watching, if people get their 5.5 hour WWE fix, they're less likely to go, man, I want to see what happened on Ring of Honor this week or, you know, or some other promotion.
Yeah. I don't know what the thought process is there. You know, it is odd, you know, because they know that the 3 hours every Monday night, they know that's tough. You know, ratings show that it's tough, you know. But, I mean, I think it's one of the number one complaints from fans is, man, that 3 hours is just too long. But, I mean, from a business standpoint, it's bringing in money, and, you know, for advertisers, and I guess that's what USA wants. So, you know, USA is a big partner of theirs. Doing, they have a reason for doing that. But even then, I think, I mean, it's a part of viewer fatigue, and not just on that weekly basis. It's starting to be an overall fatigue, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. I think it is. And I know, Greg, we've talked about this before, and I mean, it seems like it actually have seemed, you know, several times this fall that they just, you know, did a 2-hour Raw anyway, and then they took whatever table scraps they had and threw it on the out there as the third hour and said, you know, good luck.
Yeah. We see the padding of shows like that, and even Survivor Series and shows that are on the network, and you wonder also how much of the padding out of the pay-per-view shows with the pre-shows and everything like that is, you know, they're generating WWE Network content, trying to make the network more appealing to the fans as well. So, you know, that's probably another factor that does go into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's very true. Yeah, it does, you know, it does take, I mean, it's got to take its toll on them because, you know, they're not coming up with, I mean, nobody's got 5 hours of fresh ideas, you know, put on television every week.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. It was hard to do in 2 hours to continuously be
right.
Good, you know, but so, yeah.
Well,
you could have the best writing team on the planet. And that's going to be difficult to put out that much content, you know. So, and that's the way too that pro wrestling is judged differently than other shows. You know, all the other shows are seasonal, and they get, you know, months off to sit there and just think and come up with new ideas. Well, pro wrestling doesn't get that. There's no off season, and WWE specifically being one of the longest running, episodic shows of all time,
yes.
If not the longest running. You know, so that's difficult.
It's not longest running.
It's massively difficult.
Yes, it is. All right. Greg and Hurricane, you're not going to believe this, but we have breaking news again sent in by Ryan from Cumberland, a tweet from Crazy Steve saying that despite the fact that I am legally blind, I do not wear specialized contacts when I wrestle. So there we go. I mean, I think legally blind just means your vision is really, really bad. I mean, I don't think it means you have no vision whatsoever.
Correct. That would be my interpretation as well.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was in high school, we had to wrestle at blind school. There's a school in North Carolina that might be called Governor Moorhead School for the Deaf and Blind or something like that. And some of those guys were completely 100% blind, and some could see, you know, varying degrees of things. But you had to start out touching hands, like one hand palm up, the other hand palm down, and you had to touch like that. And I just remember that the blind kids. They had worked on their grip really hard. Like they would train extra hard on their grip strength. And the second that whistle blew, the guy grabbed my hand and like my fingers started turning purple. Like that's how powerful his grip was. Yeah, and it shocked me. It stunned me for a second. You know, I mean, I ended up whooping his ass. Now, this ain't no. I mean, you got to respect me. But I do remember him being insanely powerful with his grip. I mean, just because you're legally blind doesn't mean you're inept or, you know, whatever, can't do stuff. I mean, Dad's
absolutely
blind, and he's out there, you know, fighting crime all the time.
Yep, kicking ass. Okay, finally, I know you were at WrestleCade. There had to be a lot of talk about the Starrcade show. What do you think? Just based on the buzz you've heard, do you think it's a success, something that they'll try next year? What do you think? It's just a one-off idea that they got to get a few extra hundred people in attendance on at Greensboro Coliseum.
It just seems kind of like a gimmick thing, you know. Kind of wasted to me because Starrcade is such a big name in the industry. From as a fan and a longtime fan of wrestling, you know, I feel like Starrcade should have been a pay-per-view, you know. So
yeah.
Maybe if there was enough interest generated just by calling this show Starrcade, maybe Vince and them will look at that and use it going forward in some way. But I would like to see it be bigger than you know, just a live event or a house show. I would like it to be a pay per view.
Hmm. Yeah, I would like that. I'd like to see a Great American Bash tour. But I mean, I don't know that we'll see it outside of NXT. Maybe calling themselves that.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Hurricane. I know you have to be leaving us shortly. Please tell everybody listening how they can keep tabs on you via social media and all the stuff you do.
At ShaneHelms.com is where I'm at on everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's all at ShaneHelms.com. That's where, I'm pretty active. I'm one of the most active guys out there, I think. Probably too active at times. So I'm pretty easy to keep up with. You know, I'm still traveling the world, as we discussed earlier. So come see me, and you'll always have a good time when the hurricane is there.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, Hurricane. We appreciate it. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and hope you have a great 2018, too.
All right. Back at you guys. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. The Hurricane Shane Helms with us. And we don't get much time to catch our breath tonight, Greg. We got to go straight to our next guest, but we'll do that after we take this short time out. This is Wrestling Night in America on PWTorchLivecast.com.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
This is Wrestling Night in America for November 26, 2017. And we're back here on PWTorchLivecast.com. I am Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. And, Greg, I know that you think that call screeners are overrated and unnecessary, and I say that mostly because we don't have one, but let's go to our next guest. So wish us luck, everybody. Oh, we're going to wish us a lot of luck, in fact. Let's maybe we should try that again, Greg. Hold on here. No. Okay, we might have to fill just a couple minutes here while we try to get in touch with Mr. Cabana. So that was a good segment with Hurricane Helms, and just a wild show at WrestleCade. That's up on Fight TV. I understand that. Understand you were watching some of that earlier, Greg.
No.
Were you? Nope. Okay.
I was not.
Okay. Well, I should have watched it instead. Wow. Okay. No. Stop that. Thank you. Just stop. Thank you. All right. Well, we'll try calling him again in a minute. Yeah, I meant to, but yeah. Then again, on the bright side, I now have a stroller for the upcoming child that could probably survive a direct hit from an RPG. So
wonderful.
I guess that's
always
going
good
for
to
me,
be prepared.
Nice.
What I was, yeah. I will say this: what I was watching earlier today was some old Survivor Series. People may have seen me tweeting
over
the last few
days
about my Survivor Series escapades as I watched from 1987, the first show, up till 1994. That was for a column I'm writing for this coming week in the Torch newsletter, just looking at the Survivor Series as a show and the changes that developed and how it kind of morphed into what we see today and just some observations from watching a lot of the shows back to back to back. And I don't know, at Thanksgiving time, you get in that Survivor Series mood, and I had some time with Thanksgiving break and decided to check out some of the old shows.
Well, I mean, you've been here at the Torch long enough that you know that Wade Keller loves those columns. Yes, he does. All right, we're going to test
that,
this one.
Yep. I must have known that.
Yeah, you probably did know that. All right, so while we wait for this to happen, let me go through our press release. Professional wrestler Colt Cabana brings his inspirational childhood story to life. Chicago, Illinois, from the wrestling mat to the podcast mic, and now to the pages of a book. Professional wrestler Colt Cabana shares his comedic voice with his youngest fans. Wrestling Dreams is the story that shaped author and professional wrestler Colt Cabana. Colt dresses in his best wrestling gear, practices his moves, and studies his favorite heroes. When the neighborhood doesn't approve of his dreams, will anyone believe in him? Well, this sounds like quite the tale here, and I'm dying to know more about it as we try again. And, okay. Come on. There we go. Live podcasting, kids. Catch the excitement. And, yep, it won't shake loose. All right, hold on. Come on. Here we go. I'm just trying to get... Okay. All right. There we go. So, yes, as an author, Greg, Colt Cabana hopes to inspire kids to pursue their passion and find their cheering section. Always remember to be different, be unique, and like what you like. It's published by Trism Books, released earlier this month. Available on ColtMerch.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and book retailers nationwide. Greg, do you think more wrestlers should do children's books?
Well, I think Colt Cabana joins a select company there with that one, and I think it's a story that younger fans will like, and it sounds like a story that a lot of even current-day wrestlers can relate to. You know, when you tell somebody your dream is to be a professional wrestler, that doesn't always get received in a very serious or kind way by loved ones, I'm sure. And you know, we've heard enough stories from wrestlers to know that that's the case. So, I think this is a story that a lot of wrestlers can relate to.
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's definitely something to that. Let's see here. Okay, well, we'll have to get to the other hot topics later on today. But I meant to ask you, Dave Bautista possibly coming back. Now here's the thing. Maybe they're thinking after what happened 4 years ago that they can bring Dave Bautista back. Everybody hates Dave Bautista, and maybe he can be the guy that gets Roman Reigns over. But I just have this feeling, Greg, that once you put Roman Reigns and Dave Bautista out there in the same ring, guess who's going to get cheered? I'll give you a hint. It's not Roman Reigns.
Right, and that's an interesting move for WWE and for Bautista, because you have to imagine there's still a bit of a sour taste in Batista's mouth for how his run a couple years ago went when he was supposed to, main event WrestleMania and ended up Daniel Bryan was the hot name and the fans preferred him. And, they didn't take too kindly to Batista, someone they saw as a part-timer coming in and taking Daniel Bryan's spot, basically. So the reverse could happen this time where, WWE tries to put him with Roman Reigns or whatever, and Batista ends up getting cheered over Roman Reigns when WWE is trying to get Roman Reigns over. So I guess it would be the reverse effect if they tried to do it this time. But, yeah, absolutely. I think that if you were to put the two together in some sort of feud, and I don't know when you would do this. I don't know how soon they're looking to have Batista come in.
Hold on, yeah.
But
we're still trying to
I'd have to imagine. I don't see anything before WrestleMania happening. I would think that it would be after that. And you never know with Batista's movie commitments and his schedule, with his success increasing in that department. So, there's a lot of hoops that would have to be jumped through to make this happen anytime soon. But it'll be certainly interesting to see who he's programmed with if he does return.
Hold on a moment. I think we have the solution to this problem we've been having. Let's
see. Yep.
Okay. Colt Cabana.
Hey.
Hey, welcome to Wrestling Night in America. I'm Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. Hold on, first of all. Thank you. I think we discovered the source of the problem we have. Somebody in charge of putting together this interview, we're on the air anyway, sent us...
Oh, well, thanks for telling me 10 seconds into it.
I'm the only one making an idiot of myself at the moment. It looks like we got somebody sent the wrong phone number for you, so I've been trying to dial that phone number for the past several minutes, and it looks like simple. It looks like a couple numbers got transposed,
Well, let's tell them my number on the air. Just tell them my number. Let's put it out there so everyone can call it.
I didn't tell anybody the number on the air.
Klondike 5-331-7285. Give me a call, and let's talk wrestling.
Yes. Okay, so, Colt, it's great. We were just reading over
Pat. Someone's getting fired.
Fire me? I'm already fired. I'm sorry.
No, not you.
Okay. Well... Yeah, that's true. So we're reading about
Hurricane
the book. Hurricane's a good guy. Yeah, he's He's always nice. Did you ever get to meet him while you were up there?
While I was up in the Fed?
While you were up in the show, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I've met him a million times, and we're good friends. But, yeah, I remember he hurt his neck, right, for, like, a long time. And I remember him coming back to FCW. And FCW could be an intimidating place when those dudes come back. And, yeah. You know, just because, like, they're on the road, and it's just, like, 80 guys and girls in a warehouse just, like, trying to live their dream. And it's so far away but so close. And so, like, when, like, an Edge or an Undertaker or one of these people come down, it's just like, And he was always really nice to everybody, and that was always a nice memory I had of him.
Yeah. Okay, the number is 515-605-9345 for people looking to call in. Yeah, in fact, if Colt hadn't texted me, I probably would still be dialing the wrong number like an idiot. I'm glad we have this book that we're talking about, Wrestling Dreams. Unlike my book, it's published by an actual publisher, and it's already been released, and you can get it at ColtMerch.com or wherever fine books are sold. So Colt, what gave you the idea of doing a children's book?
Yeah, it's published by Trism Books, and it's available on Amazon too, if you don't trust me. But I've been sending them all out from my apartment. I'll do like a personal video to a little kid, and I'll sign it also. So I've been finding that really fun to do, and watching I'm getting like reply videos back of these kids seeing my video or reading the book, and it's been so cool. I for the people that know me and my podcast and listen to me, they know like I hate reading and I hate like writing really. So I think this was like, if I was ever to do an autobiography or a tell all, it was this children's book that's 28 pages, fully illustrated, and it's a story about me as a child, inspired by me as a child. So, I think it was just, there's not much like out there. I know Dreamer's wife, made a book, and I know Mick made a book, but it's few and far between. And so, I really like, here's the thing. No kid will ever like poo poo on you. You know, like in a world where everyone like makes fun of you or rips on you on Twitter, like any kid reading this it's like the greatest thing ever for them. And so that's really fun to be a part of.
Yeah. I mean, plus it's always good, teaching kids to read, and it's a skill that they're going to need. Yeah. Well, there's a skill that they're going to need, they're going to need that later in life when to read the people ripping them on Twitter.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. It's definitely good to see you doing this and getting out there. Now you also replaced our good friend Steve Carino doing commentary for Ring of Honor, and you've, in addition to doing commentary, you've wrestled some, and you did a lot teaming with Dalton Castle and fighting Dalton Castle. And now Dalton Castle is the guy or getting close to being the guy. What are your thoughts on Dalton and him headlining Final Battle?
Well, the guy is the Bullet Club and the Young Bucks, and so that's been an interesting thing watching all of it from the commentary desk and just seeing how over these guys are. I've never seen anything like it, and I've been a part of some stuff where, I had a really nice run. I've seen guys like Lowkey and Daniels, and I've seen like the top of the indie tier now for almost 20 years, and never have I seen anything like this on an independent level. And obviously Ring of Honor is not an independent level, but I toured Australia with House of Hardcore, and the Young Bucks were out there, and it's crazy to see something like this. So Dalton's got a lot to go against. It's crazy because also from wrestling him, I would see the reactions he would get too, and I was kind of blown away. And I knew he was overcome as I was coming back to Ring of Honor, but to be in the ring and to feel, and especially after some of his entrances was really something. So it's a hard battle to go against, the guys like the Young Buckets and the Bullet Club. And by that, I mean Cody, with how over these guys are now. But it's kind of cool that it's your two really, really popular, guys. That's what you do. That's how you sell tickets. You put your Hogan and Warrior against each other. And so that's Cody and Dalton right now. And that's going to be exciting. That's December 15th, Friday, live on the pay-per-view, ROHWrestling.com or the Fight app. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I've got one of them. I got a Ring of Honor DVD from 2013 that I remember. Dalton, and it's on here. It's the popcorn match. Dalton Castle against, Pennsylvania's own Jimmy Nuts. And he didn't have the Dalton. He didn't have that character yet, but it's just a huge difference in the course of a few years. Greg, you had a question for Colt.
Well, first of all, I want to say, you know, Colt, as a middle school reading teacher. I'll ignore the part where you said you hate reading and writing, but I'll say that, you know, anything you can do to get kids interested in reading, because it's such an important thing for them to learn at such a young age, and they need it for the rest of their life. You know, even if it's a 28-page book, as yours is, I think it's really important to put that out there and get something accessible for kids to read. So I think that is something important that your book brings to the market.
Thank you.
The question I had for you is about the NWA, because as a former NWA champion, I just wanted to get your thoughts on, since Billy Corgan and Dave Lagana have kind of taken over the NWA, and Tim Storm as NWA champion, and what they're doing on social media to get attention to the NWA title defenses, his match against Magnus got a lot of attention on social media, on Twitter. I'm kind of curious on your take on how they're putting out this NWA title and just the things they've done differently since they've taken over.
Are you asking me about the NWA taking the wrestling world by Tim Storm?
That's exactly.
Yes.
I couldn't put it better myself.
Yes. Yes, we are. Hold on.
Yay. Thank you. Yeah, I was a former two-time NWA world champion in a weird time in the NWA history. And so what I'll do is, like, Lagana and Corrigan – or what I'll do is I'll say this. Lagana and Corrigan are a perfect 1-2 punch, because Lagana is really good at doing kind of this internet-savvy stuff and putting out those videos and realizing, like, the power of a Facebook or Instagram or even – telling stories through social media and that kind of stuff. And he doesn't have the reach, but who has the reach? Billy Corrigan has the reach. So Billy Corrigan is opening it up for Dave Lagana to kind of tell these stories. And I think that, you know, it could have been with anything. It could have been with, you know, Monster Car or roller derby or whatever it is, but, you know, it's with Tim Storm and the NWA. So that's what they chose. And, you know, they could have chose anything, but they chose the NWA, and so it's kind of cool to see. And so I think a lot of credit might not go to Dave Lagana, but it deserves to.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Greg, do you know what else Colt Cabana hates in addition to reading and writing?
I can only guess. What is it?
Arithmetic. There you go. It's just that, it was just that easy. Okay,
well done.
Colt, if you can stick around through the break, the number is 515-605-9345. You can also reach us, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com or on Twitter, and you can even send them to Real Pat McNeil, send them to Greg M. Parks. You can probably even send them to Colt Cabana. We'll be right back.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
Wrestling Night in America returns here on PWTorchLivecast.com. I'm Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks, and our guest is Ring of Honor's own Colt Cabana. Colt also hosts a podcast, by the way. It's called The Art of Wrestling, and I think that's great, Colt, because I don't think there's really enough podcast coverage of the pro wrestling industry out there.
Well, you say that like it's a dig at me, but I was...
It's not.
No, I'm
doing a podcast, so I can hardly take a dig at you for doing a podcast when I'm interviewing you on a podcast that I'm doing.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I know, you know, Wade Keller's been doing audio for a long time. You know, he was one of the first, but, you know, obviously I was, you know, one of the very first doing the, you know, being in the industry doing the podcast, and I started that in 2010. And so I think I have the right to be in the podcast world. I don't know.
You have one of the best known podcasts in the professional wrestling business. So, I mean, I'm not being facetious. You also have the, as near as I can tell, the only one to, your podcast became famous, very famous for a short period of time. And, actually got the attention of WWE. Let's go with that.
Okay. I thought mine got, it was getting famous before that when I had a write up in the Chicago Reader and Rolling Stones article and, I don't know.
Well, you've done hundreds of episodes now.
Yeah, I've done over 375 of them.
That would make you, I think, the longest-running weekly episodic pro wrestling podcast in iTunes history. Does that sound right, Greg?
Should I start putting up "Did You Know"s on my front company?
It would be helpful, yes, to new listeners.
It could fill like 15 seconds as you go to break. Yeah.
Perfect.
I think that'd be great. But we were talking about the first book from Colt Cabana, Wrestling Dreams. Now, I mean, obviously it's a little early, but do you anticipate this being the first of a series?
Oh, well, the Young Bucks hit me up right away and they were like, hey, we want to do one. So maybe we might, me and Chisholm Books and Erica Weiss might help try to put out a Young Bucks one and them, you know, so that might be a thing. I don't know. Yeah, it's been very successful so far, but I don't know. I don't know how many stories it got in me.
Well, let's see. I think I can see it. Superkick Party on the Playground.
There you go.
I think that
sleepover
could
kick.
Be money.
How about a sleepover kick party?
I can see that.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, I know. Got to start somewhere. Greg, you had another question?
As someone who, I enjoy writing, and I know it's sometimes hard to come up with ideas for writing. You know, you talked about how this is sort of autobiographical for you. What was your inspiration to actually sit down and write this?
So I don't. And when I said I hate writing and reading, I have like a weird form of, I think, dyslexia and ADHD. And it's very hard for me to read like long, long things. And my brain starts running away. And so that's why, like, I really don't, you know, it's hard for me in school to read. And it's just hard for me to sit down when people send me these and give me these long books. So, I do enjoy being creative. And, you know, I do that through podcasting, through wrestling, through comedy, and then obviously through something like this. And so Erica Weiss, who illustrated it and helped me write it together, it was kind of a collaborative process with myself and Erica. And that was kind of it. She was married to, you know, she is married to my best friend, who's a dentist. And they put out a book called Sugar Bugs, which helps teach kids about, you know, brushing your teeth and being smart with your teeth. And so the next logical step was like, oh, well, we have kind of a wrestler in the family, so let's do a cute book about wrestling. And I was on board. And so we kind of, you know, we just kind of put our heads together and kind of came up with kind of a closely autobiographical story about following your dreams and doing what you want to do. And it was really a collaborative process with Erica, and I was really proud of how it came out.
Hmm. No, that's great. In addition to working for Ring of Honor, you can also be seen on various independent promotions throughout the world. Do you have any upcoming appearances that you especially want to tell us about?
Oh, God. Well, in a couple hours, I'm about to fly to London to shoot a TV project that I can't really talk about right now.
Okay.
But let's see. I'm going to be wrestling in Japan for DDT this Christmas and New Year's. And so I know a lot of people might be going out to the Tokyo Dome. So the day before the Tokyo Dome, I'll be wrestling at Korakuen Hall with DDT. And
wow.
And so I think that'd be a really cool thing for wrestling fans, is come, you know, go watch those guys at the Dome in front of 60,000 people, and then come see Colt Cabana wrestle in front of, you know, 1,300.
And yeah, yeah, but you're at Corken Cor- Hall.
Yeah, the legendary Corken Hall. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of say it with, you know, taking a shot at myself, but of course it's one of the most legendary wrestling venues in the world.
Yeah.
So I'll be at DDT. If you're in Minnesota, I'll be doing First Wrestling. I literally fly back from Japan. I get home on a Friday night, and then I fly Saturday to Minnesota to wrestle for First Wrestling, and then I'm doing Ring of Honor. If you're in the New York, New Jersey area next week, December 8th and 9th, I'll be at wrestling with WrestlePROOnline.com. A lot of talent on those WrestlePro shows always. So, ColtCabana.com is my website with my upcoming events. I got a lot of events on there. And I mean, this is how it's been. It's really, since coming back to the independents in 2009 and then starting the podcast, and my schedule really started to pick up. And my mentality was always just take as many dates and wrestle as much as you can, because I just assumed it would stop one day close. And it's been a full schedule for, you know, 8 years now. And I don't plan on stopping until the wrestling fans don't want to see me anymore. So apparently they keep on wanting to see me, or at least some of them do. And so I keep on wrestling on the shows.
No, absolutely. And I think we enjoy seeing you. And does it give you a different perspective? Do you feel like you're settling down into the commentary role, or are you thinking, you know what, I could still get one more big run in here on Ring of Honor?
I don't know about thinking about one. I mean, I think we all think we could have one more run in us. You know, I think even some of the wrestlers in their like mid-50s are like, if they would just give me a good push, I would be like the next legend of wrestling. And, you know, hey, like Tim Storm has kind of proven that that's like kind of real, you know. All it takes is Dave Lugana and Billy Corrigan, yeah. But for me, you know, I was kind of just asked to do this commentary because nobody was there to do commentary. Am I slowing down my wrestling schedule? My wrestling schedule is just as full. But in Ring of Honor, that's kind of the role they need to fill right now. And, hey, you know, I wrestled, you know, Mark Briscoe injured his elbow, and I filled in Columbus during the Global Wars tour, and to a rumble that I hadn't heard in a while. So, you know, it's almost like maybe it's good for my career to kind of keep it in hold a little bit, and then maybe when I'm ready to pop back out into the world of wrestling is a nice little push ski in it for me, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, anybody can, you know, I mean, you know, anything can happen in professional wrestling. And I think that's been established over this past year. This year has been crazy.
Well, yeah, they say any man with two hands has a fighting chance. So I agree.
I've heard that. I've heard that from a guy who looks kind of like Mitch McConnell with blonde
hair.
Like
you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't, Greg, do you think I look like Mitch McConnell? Never mind, Greg, don't answer that. There's no way that can unlock for me.
I'm trying to be nice. I don't see a resemblance.
Okay, well, that's good. There's some loyalty around here. Okay. All right, so, yes, Ring of Honor coming up the 15th,
right.
Coming up the 15th and 16th. 15th, final battle. It's Dalton Castle. It's Cody Rhodes defending against Dalton Castle. It's Marty Scurll and Jay Lethal.
Hey.
What?
It's Cody.
It's Cody Reynolds against Dalton Castle.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Thank you. It's the American Nightmare defending against Dalton Castle. Marty Scurll against Jay Lethal. The Motor City Machine Guns, again, if they're still champions, against Trent Beretta and Chucky T. That's just going to be, I'd have to bet that the Young Bucks will be on there somewhere.
I believe if it's not, I might be spoiling this, but I don't know. They're defending their six-man tag championships.
Yeah, well that makes perfect sense.
Yes.
I mean
the Hung Bucks.
Yes, them and the Hangman, Adam Page.
Correct.
I'm glad they found him finally.
Yeah, and now, of course, myself and Ian Riccoboni will be doing the play-by-play and the color commentary on pay-per-view, ROHWrestling.com, and the Fight TV app, if you're watching at home.
Yeah, Ian's a good guy. We've had him on the show before. He puts up with us Always a plus when you're dealing with a skilled play-by-play guy. It makes your job easier, doesn't it, Colt?
So much easier. He wasn't there for San Antonio, and it was me and BJ Whitmer, and I started doing play-by-play. Oh. Woo-wee. I mean, you don't appreciate these guys until they're gone.
Okay, well, that's so that's something to look forward to for everybody who grabs the video on demand, looking for Colt and BJ doing play-by-play together.
Yeah, if you want to see an interesting combination, you can pick that one up, ROHWrestling.com, become a member, and watch it for free.
Yeah, and you guys are going to – Ring of Honor is going to have its own over-the-top channel sometime in 2018. At least that's what we're hearing.
Is that an arm wrestling channel?
I guess they could have arm wrestling on it, but it's more of a ROH network type thing.
Oh, well, over-the-top is all I understand of that is – turning your head backwards and trying to fight for your son by driving a truck.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Colt, how can – yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about your website, ColtCabana.com, and ColtMerch.com is selling your book. What are the other ways that people can keep track of the Colt Cabana juggernaut?
Twitter and Instagram, at Colt Cabana. And here's the thing I'll say. The children's book is a beautiful thing that you should be getting for a child in your life. But I also have three documentaries that I'm so proud of, the Wrestling Road Diaries 1, 2, and 3. The first one was with myself and Daniel Bryan before he went to WWE. It was filmed in 2009, and it's a real, real look at like what the independents – and now that the independents are like kind of buzzworthy and cool, like this was 2009 when like people weren't going gaga over independent wrestling. So it's a real cool look at what that scene was like at that time. The second one was with myself and Luke Gallows and Cliff Compton and those guys
– Yeah.
We're just nut jobs. And the third one I recently put out last year is Fun Equals Money. It's about comedy and wrestling. And those are digitally available, too. And also, I'm shipping everything out for Christmas and Hanukkah. And I got little free holiday cards that I'm putting out. And, you know, it's a great way to support an independent wrestling. But also, if you don't do that, support one of these other independent wrestlers or pro wrestling tees has a sale going on up until Monday. And, that'd be a great way. Or just, I don't know, whatever. You guys like wrestling. That's why you're listening. So just continue being yourself.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Colt Cabana, thank you very much for being on the show. We're really looking forward to Final Battle. Did you get your ticket already for the Chris Jericho cruise?
Did I?
Yeah, because it's coming in 2018.
Oh. No,
it's up
I
on the Ring of Honor website. So, they must be serious about it.
Oh, man. Is there a coupon?
Let me see. The Black Friday coupon's not going to count.
There's
a place where you can buy tickets.
I'll scroll the internet for coupons. Maybe a Groupon. Let's all go together on a Groupon.
That's a great idea. I like that.
All right.
Thank you very much, Colt. We'll definitely have you back on again if they let us. Okay.
All right. Bye, Greg.
See you, Colt.
Yay.
All right. Colt Cabana, ladies and gentlemen. Greg, that was exciting, and we learned a lot. That's the best kind of show when we learn something.
I'm on a first name basis with Colt Cabana. That's my takeaway from that interview.
My takeaway from that interview is now I have Colt Cabana's actual number for the next time we do this.
That's very valuable.
That's my takeaway. Yes, it is. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Starrcade, the WWE version of Starrcade. We found an actual correspondent who went there, and we'll be talking with him right after this timeout.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling-related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality-hosted podcasts.
Wrestling Night in America returns here on pwtorchlivecast.com, number 515-605-9345. I'm Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. Greg, we've had Hurricane Helms on. We've had Colt Cabana on. This has been fun. Hopefully,
now it's
time
for the main event.
Well, something like that. You know, hopefully when I think when I get my next VIP show for the Torch, it's I'm going to be doing interviews and we're going to be calling it Keeping It Awkward with Pat McNeil. I think that's the way to go. Okay, let's yeah, money. All right, here we go. Let's find our correspondent and get a live on-scene report as to what happened last night at Starrcade 2017, the gathering, I guess. Hold on a moment. I dialed the number. I swear to God, Greg, I dialed the number. Let's see what's going on here.
Hello.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome from Greensboro, North Carolina, Pro Wrestling Torch's senior top columnist, Mr. Bruce Mitchell.
Oh, my God.
Welcome to Wrestling Night in America.
I literally just put down the Skype. No, I literally just put down the Skype after 2 hours of Wade Keller, so I am just hyped up for this. But this is big. This is like...
I had no idea. I'm sorry.
No.
This is going to be a cleanser after Wade.
Yeah, but to be a part of Football Night in America, one of the highest rated shows in all of America, you know, there's nothing bigger than the NFL. So to be here with you guys, I'm just really excited.
Well, thank you, and I'll be sure to pass that along to Tony Dungy.
Last night it was
WWE Starrcade at the Greensboro Coliseum. It sounds like from talking to the Hurricane, it sounds like WrestleCade went very well. How big was Starrcade? How many people did it have, and how is it different from a normal WWE live event?
You know, I was not feeling this. I mean, even when the announcement came and, you know, I went to shows in the 80s regularly in the Greensboro Coliseum when they ran every 3 weeks, every 4 weeks, you know, these major shows, and I had the time of my life, you know, just I wasn't working on the Torch or any of that stuff. And, you know, I mean, most people are familiar with that with me. And but I thought, you know, Starrcade, you can't recapture the past. You have to move on and get something good now. And I didn't think – and it's WWE, and WWE is very protective of WWE heritage and tradition and not so protective of their competitors. And so I just thought, okay, this is something of a cynical attempt to mess with WrestleCade, you know, just put that, you know, do the house show on Thanksgiving. And, you know, we'll see Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express, come out. We'll see Rick Steamboat come out, but this will be a house show. So, I wasn't in that great a mood. I mean, WrestleCade, I'd just gotten back from WrestleCade and it was fine and definitely successful. And, but I was like, I was more looking at it like, I want a nap, you know, it's like, I hate to say it, but oh my God, I'm going back to Starrcade, you know, going back to the history, you know, these events and all that. And I was really surprised at how much detail work was done, how generous they were about it. And it wasn't perfect, but it was very good. And part of what helped, and, you know, I hate to give this guy credit, but I went with Johnny Fairplay, and Johnny had procured some really nice seats. And, in fact, he had procured seats, our regular seats, because back in the 80s, arenas were kind of crooked. So if you had an in, you know, you could use it. You didn't have to go through StubHub or Ticketmaster. You would just – there was literally an old lady named Grandma who we would give our money to at every show to buy tickets for the next show, and we would get the prime seats – front row section D. And you know, and on the other hand, they could count on us doing that every single time, 10 or 11 people. So, you know, it wasn't like that bad a deal. We can get them for free. So anyway, so somehow we ended up with, and I had no idea this was going to happen. I don't think Johnny did either, but we ended up with fifth row section D. And so it was, I hadn't been on the floor for a WWE show since, or for a major show in the Greensboro Coliseum, which would be a WWE show, or a WCW show for that matter, since those Jim Crockett days. I never like really kind of tried to do it. I just wanted to get a good sight line and watch the show. I didn't want to, you know, my days of acting up, I'd had my days. And all that, they were great. But so that was like, oh my God, look at this. So they had the white ropes instead of the colored ropes. They had WWE Starrcade banners. They played a Starrcade video, a long Starrcade video to get people in the mood. They had some Krylon with who was wrestling who coming out. And then the first Yeah. And the first guy that they had, you know, the first guy that comes out is Bobby Roode, and you know, that's the glorious thing. And Dolph Ziggler, and then here comes his special enforcer, Arn Anderson. And Arn Anderson was our guy, and Arn Anderson is great. And you know, and he's like the only person that's kept a job in wrestling consistently since 1980. I mean, it's like he really has been a major company since, you know, since he set foot in, well, whatever, you know, 1984, since he set foot in Jim Crockett promotions. He's never had a day that he wasn't working for a major league promotion. So, I mean, but he was like a big Greensboro guy. He was a favorite of ours, too. And he would talk about us on promos from time to time, on the localized promos and all that. So you're sitting there going, this is great. Arn's here. You know, like Arn's going to do something. And you're hoping you're going to get the spine buster, and you did. And it set everything off to a really good thing. But 8,000 people, $600,000 house, they were into everything. You know, they were into the WWE, and they weren't bored by the old guys at all. So that that really helped. But they did a lot of little things. The cage and the cage matches was the old World Class Championship Wrestling. Freebirds, Von Erich Cage, Ric Flair, Kerry Von Erich Cage, and style, and the old style that was, you know, used here with Crockett's, and so, you know, that was really cool to see, and they didn't lower it from the top, as spectacular as that is, and a good effect as that is. They did the cheap way, which was bring the walls one by one out, you know, bring the walls out and connect them together, which was very much what I used to watch with everyone's now favorite cult hero, Klondike Bill. And so that was really good, but it really had that kind of flavor to it. But it also had, the main stuff was the house show, and that was good too. So, you know, Ricky Steamboat and Shinsuke Nakamura in the ring together was, linked decades for me. And for me, the first two are Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. So, and Ricky Steamboat was such an important part of main eventing in the heyday of Jim Crockett Promotions in the Mid-Atlantic area that, you know, and he had not been back in years and years to the Greensboro Coliseum. In fact, you know, the last time it hadn't been renovated and added the last 8,000 seats they added. So, it was good to see him. And then Nakamura is like, there's some similarities between those two, and there's some real differences. But they were both pushing the envelope for their time and when they were really big. And to hear, you know, and to hear, hear Steamboat talk about, you know, the real highlights of his career those 6 or 7 years, and his tag team with Jay Youngblood, it was a really big deal. And then just Nakamura bowing down to him in that picture that Fairplay took, that was a great picture. So that was cool. I'm rolling through stuff. I don't mean to, if you guys want to stop me.
Okay, we will. Greg, I get the feeling that if you don't get to ask a question, neither of us will say anything until the show goes off the air. So why don't you take the next question for Bruce?
I will do just that. Bruce, you know, the house show audience has been pretty well established for WWE as lots of families, lots of kids, a little different than their TV audiences. Was that consistent with what you saw, or did the Starrcade name, did the advertising of the Rock and Roll Express – did the nostalgia bring out any kind of older audience that you noticed?
You know, that's a really interesting question because it really didn't turn out either way. This was a show that all of a sudden it hit me, you know, again, the T-shirt that was there the most was some version of the Bullet Club and lots of American Nightmare shirts, and they actually offered a Starrcade 1983 shirt, and they offered a Starrcade 2017 shirt just for that show, which I was really surprised at. They don't, you know, if it's not WrestleMania, why would you do that? But they did. And there were some definite throwback T-shirts that I saw with Ric Flair. And then, you know, you see an Ultimate War ones turn up, and I was like, that guy shouldn't be here. They're like, kick him out. But anyway, and there was a guy dressed up like Ric Flair, which was funny because that was 30, 40 years ago you'd see that. But it was the least amount of kids. And this is Thanksgiving, too. Thanksgiving weekend, kids are off for school, you know, on a Saturday night. And it was the least amount of kids I think I'd ever seen at a WWE or WCW show. They were there, but there weren't very many of them, and I didn't – there were definitely from the local wrestling community, there were definitely people that came back to see this, but not a ton of them. I mean, I saw the I saw some of the faces, but it was more a modern wrestling crowd. I mean, it was more younger, teenage to in their 20s and 30s. And definitely older folks too, but and they knew everybody, which you would think that crowd wouldn't know everybody either. So I'm wondering whether that's how it is now, or I always learn something from going to house shows, and that was really surprising to me.
Okay, now how does that compare with? You said you went to WrestleCade. How does that compare with the number with the demographics of what you saw at WrestleCade? Did they have a lot of kids there, or?
There were some kids there, but it was more like, my dad's bringing me to see, I'm seeing these guys that my dad's talking about and my granddad's talking about. And there were definitely more of the older fans who's, I may not know their names, but I definitely know their faces. And a lot of them know their names by this point, but, from the grand old days. And then of course it seemed like every act had three or four Bobos or guys that were, helping out or somehow in the business, and there was a bunch of those types too. So I'm not saying that with the greatest of respect, but there were definitely a ton of those types.
You mean like when we went to WrestleCade and Fairplay was at our merchandise table?
Right. Yeah, that we hung around Johnny. Yeah, I mean, I've done Bobo duty with Johnny.
Yeah, I know.
So, you had a ton of those people, but they were, they drew 800 the first night, and they at their show the first night, and when I was leaving to go back to Starcade, go back to Greensboro, there was a long line to start the show. The show from Saturday night. So I think they did well, except for the part about getting ripped off Friday night when the till got stolen. So
I missed that. Somebody walked off with the till.
Yeah. So that was not good.
That's bad. That's one of those things. That's one of those lessons that you hope that promoters don't have to learn the hard way.
Right. Right. And we'll see. Apparently there was video footage, and they have a good idea who did it, but I haven't heard how that all if it resolved itself or how it resolved itself. But WrestleCade 6 year, and it looked like there was a little bit less room, so it was a little more crowded. Everybody was crowded in, lots of folks, kind of the sub, the Cornettes and the Midnight Expresses and the Tommy Riches and the ones that I see a ton at fan fests and that kind of thing. And then the Boogeyman from WWE and, of course, Jimmy Valiant. But the Boogeyman with the Worms and, lots of folks like that. And it was clearly successful. Like that thing, I don't know how badly that thing was hurt by Starcade or not. I suspect not too badly because they were selling tickets for 9 months. Right. And probably the till. I mean, I'm sure it hurt that whoever stole it got a significant amount of money. But on the other hand, I bet they had a lot of credit card money that was there well before the show.
Okay. Tell you what, Bruce, if you want to hang with us through the break, that'd be great. Wrestling Night in America returns on PW Torch Livecast after this timeout.
Hey, it's Jim Valley. If you cut promos in front of a mirror, if you made a belt out of cardboard, if your parents knew to leave you alone when wrestling was on TV, then this is the show for you. Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley. We'll talk about and to the stars that made your childhood great. From the WWWF to WWE, WCW, Crockett, Memphis, Florida, Mid-South, and Portland, we'll talk about the unbelievable stories of running the roads and keeping kayfabe, and who knows, some of the stories might even be true. Join me Wednesdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific in the United States, Wrestling Road Stories here on the Pro Wrestling Torch Livecast with me, Jim Valley.
And now, page 3. Folks, you listen to PW Torch Livecast and you listen to Wrestling Night in America and the many other fine programs we do here. But you might want to take it to the next level and become a subscriber to PWTorch.com. Yes, a VIP membership at PWTorch.com gets you literally dozens of new original wrestling podcasts every month. It gets you the free Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter. It gets you the ad-free version of the PW Torch website. It gets you ad-free versions of shows like this one. And listen to this incredible testimony.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
And, Bruce, do we still have specials going on at pwtorch.com/govip?
You're asking the wrong person, but yeah, I believe so. I believe we've got the 50-cent special with, associated with the famed Conrad Thompson and Tony Schiavone and Bruce Pritchard. So I think that's going on still. I think the 10-day special has come to a close.
Oh, well. But, hey, there you go, a 50-cent special. You can learn all about that. Check out the PW Torch Twitter feed at PW Torch or PW Torch VIP to find out what specials are going on. The regular price, of course, $10 a month, $99 a year, pwtorch.com/govip. And if you want a lot more of Bruce Mitchell, like, say, the 2 hours he just got done recording with Wade Keller, that's all included as part of your PW Torch VIP membership. It's just that simple. pwtorch.com/govip. Yeah, Wrestling Night in America returns here on PWTorchLivecast.com. Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, your PW Torch Livecast top guys, talking with the senior columnist in professional wrestling and the PW Torch, Mr. Bruce Mitchell. Bruce, thank you for appearing on the show with us.
Oh, sure. I have a long history with the Livecast, so yeah, cool.
Yes, actually you do. So, Bruce, what would you say was the best match out of what you saw at Starrcade last night?
The best match would have been the main event, which was AJ Styles and Jinder Mahal, and it was very, you know, in a cage, in that old style cage, and I definitely was having flashbacks to watching Ric Flair carry guys like Lex Luger and Nikita Koloff, with AJ Styles, and Mahal was accepted. I mean, they loved Nakamura, and they loved on this show, they loved Nakamura, who wrestled Baron Corbin, and they loved AJ Styles. And they were, you know, the Usos and New Day were over too, but that was the two that were the top as far as being over. Charlotte was over, but as far as like really being popular. And so, you know, Mahal, he's improved in some ways, and there's other ways you're just like, you kind of like, you know, you need to move now, bud, you know, that kind of thing. And he's definitely a throwback muscle wise too. So, but yeah, AJ's got it. And so that was, and even that match probably went 3 or 4 minutes longer than it did, but that it could have. But Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, I thought, worked really hard in the opener too, that Arn was participating in. So, I mean, you know, they've got that. You know, WWE has really fine-tuned the house show formula for today's WWE fan. In other words, it's a lot like watching television. You know, it's a lot. It has the videos back and forth. It has the announcers talking to the crowd, and it's got that Harlem Globetrotters, you know, monster trucks. You know, we're keeping everybody hyped kind of feel to it, and it was a good show.
Right. Yeah, because you know they're not coming to town every month anymore.
No, they work that, and well, they should. They work that to their advantage.
Yeah, that's true. Greg, you have anything else for Bruce?
Yeah, you know, with as successful as this sounds, I know a lot of people on Twitter last night were tweeting about it since it wasn't available on the WWE Network, and a lot of other people were upset that it wasn't available on the network. These branded house shows, you know, is this something that WWE should or will look at in the future in your mind, or was this just a one-off to test the waters, to go up against WrestleCade and offer some sort of competition for them? I mean, what's your take on that?
I think, believe it or not, I think that it was a good thing that there were people that were up in arms that they couldn't see this. You're so conditioned, if you've got the WWE Network or if you're a longtime wrestling fan, that you can see the big WWE shows, and then this show you couldn't see. And fans were mad, but they were mad in the right way. In other words, if it comes back, I think, you know, a branded house show that's got a reason to have a brand behind it, I think that'll be something that WWE can do at a low cost to, you know, to hype up a house show and then help strengthen the network numbers, or at least the viewers that are watching that on a particular Saturday night. So, yeah, I thought they could, if they want to, you know, I would be judicious about it, but I think this is something that that they saw that there was interest, and then, you know, you could see the social media putting in clips of some of the things that happened on the show, WWE social
yeah.
media sending it out. So I think they built a, I think they started to build a little bit of a demand for stuff for this kind of niche programming. So yeah, I think they could. I mean, and this, you know, I was sitting there watching this going, number one, I can't believe first Ric Flair main event show I ever went to, the first big wrestling show I ever went to was in 1980. It's now 2017, and he was a significant part of drawing the house because the house was not doing well until they announced that Ric Flair would be there. So that was, you know, part of it. Now also the the Raw brand in Tennessee drew around the same thing. So that's part of that Thanksgiving too. But I wonder whether they'll come back and try this again. I kind of hope they don't, but because this went so well, and is, you know, you can only do the nostalgia. You know, the first time's the best time for the nostalgia deal, but I think they could do. I think they could do this, and you know, keep it at a low cost and put it on the network, so and get something out of it.
Well, let's talk about that, Bruce, because you know, I mean, when WWE Network started, they did put a couple of souped-up house shows on the network, and that seemed to go over well. However, it looks like things are changing, and one of the big changes is, you know, next year we're back down to 14 pay-per-views a year. Now, I obviously am looking at that and I'm saying, thank goodness, but, you know, it doesn't seem like their financial that they think their financial interests are best served by adding, you know, more major shows.
Yeah, I'm not talking, you know, you're right, and this has to make sense financially, and to me, if it's you're already having a house show in a particular location, and then you can by adding a few, you know, a few extra guest stars or you know, putting in, I mean, there wasn't a lot of high cost here to this one, and
right.
you can do some things on the Videotron with video packages you probably already have anyway. That wouldn't be the worst. That could work if the money works. In other words, if you see an increase at the house show from it in attendance from the house show and something, you know, and they sold some specialty merchandise, if you can see an increase in the merchandise and then an increase in the numbers on the network, then basically you just show a house show and think that people are going to go see it anyway because they want to see live wrestling, as you talked about. It only comes once or twice a year, so they could do that, but not a major show. That's the thing. It's like not a major from the ground up show. Just you're adding to your house show. That's all, and doing enough where and like even the nostalgia stuff. Dustin Rhodes wrestling is a natural, that kind of stuff. It was really cool, but it didn't take over the whole show. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, you already have the show in place. You're going to run it anyway, so. That part, you know, it's a low cost. It should be a low cost thing that you don't do a ton with, and you don't, you know, you might put a commercial or two on Raw or SmackDown, but not a ton. So, and on the network, that wouldn't cost you a bunch. That wouldn't cost you anything. So, yeah, I think it could be done, but the numbers have to work. You know, if the numbers don't work, then when they actually do try it again, if they do, then don't do it anymore.
Right. Now, do you think they could have, let's say that they, instead of doing this on, you know, on Thanksgiving weekend, they put the show in Greensboro on December 17th and just did Starcade as that month's pay-per-view with, you know, this sort of the Starcade theme and a lot of what you saw last night. Do you think that would have worked?
No. I don't
okay.
because I think if you do one of the if you do a major pay-per-view or just a monthly pay-per-view and you go around nostalgia, if you're WWE and you're the major leagues, you're the main event, I don't think that's where you want to go. I just don't think they want to I'm kind of amazed at myself saying this, but I think they spend sometimes too much time on history and too much time showing you that there were giants in those days and they're not giants in these days. You know, they even talk about it on the internet. It's like they should cut the crap. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's just a small specialty show. You could go to Philadelphia and rent out the arena and do, you know, what people have done 100 times, but you could do it with WWE. And you know, or just a Philadelphia arena, and you know, have the special guests come out, and since WWE hasn't done it since, you know, the old EC, I mean the WWE ECW days, then maybe they could do that. But it's like you've got to cherry pick the right places, and I don't think there's, you know, a lot of the history is in the past. It's kind of a, you know, Ric Flair was the medical emergency and 30 for 30. And he is known here. You know, he's part of the culture here. So not an icon, but part of the culture here. And so that doesn't exist everywhere. So they have to kind of, you know, and as years go by, it exists less and less. So you have to be kind of careful with it. And let's not forget that they, you know, they saw someone making money off of wrestling and acts that they had built up four or five straight years, and they're petty, and they didn't want to see. They wanted to put a little, send a little message about that, and that's what they did. As far as WrestleCade went.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Looking at this last night, Nashville drew well with the main event of Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe, Last Man Standing, and that's. That's a relatively hot match. Bruce, tell the people who are interested in going VIP what they can expect on the Bruce Mitchell audio show, which will soon be released for VIP members.
First I went through in more detail what happened at WrestleCade, what happened this weekend, including Jeff Hardy at the music club that's about 100 yards away from me last night. Jeff Hardy singing with acoustic accompaniment and in front of a sparse crowd. And went into even more detail about Starrcade here and a good Rocky Johnson story, a good rock story, and talked about all, you know, the events this weekend, and then did the mailbag, and the mailbag covered Triple H and lots of modern stuff and some stuff from the past, including the not so immortal Renegade from WCW days and that sad story. So the mailbag's becoming a really interesting part, really fun part to do of the audio shows of the VIP audio shows that Wade Keller and I do. So and of course we did, you know we did it first, but you've done a ton more, you and Jim Valley, of, and we didn't do it in real time, so it's not quite the feeling of your gimmick that you bitterly complain about Bruce Pritchard and Tony Schiavone do. Well, both of them do it. But but anyway, we did a Starrcade 87, Britt Whitmire and I did a Starrcade 87 show with perhaps the filthiest story that has ever been told on Torch Audio in 15 years.
Oh, my.
So I was proud of that. So,
Congratulations. Oh, yes. Greg, yeah, we do actually, Greg, we actually do have breaking news on that one topic. Breaking news, the poll is over to determine what we're going to be covering next on PW Torch Wayback Playback. And it's official, our listeners hate us. They chose WWF In Your House Degeneration X, winning with 36. Narrowly beating out Starrcade
95. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow.
It is very sad.
Your pain will be entertaining to all the VIPs. Listeners, so, and all the listeners, so that'll be nice.
The idea. Greg, you have something for Bruce before we wrap up?
No, I think we're all set. Bruce, thanks for joining us tonight and talking about Starrcade and a little bit about WrestleCade as well.
I appreciate it,
really,
Greg.
Good.
All right, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Okay, Bruce, you can go on about your business now. Thank you for being.
Now that's a segue.
Thank you for being
right
on Wrestling Night in America. How can people keep tabs on you via social media, like the other big stars we've had on tonight?
Yes, at Mitchell PW Torch, at Mitchell PW Torch. Please follow.
Okay,
I appreciate it.
Follow Bruce Mitchell on Twitter.
Yes.
And read everything he writes. Okay, thank you, Bruce.
Talk to you guys later.
Okay, Bruce Mitchell, ladies and gentlemen, senior columnist for Pro Wrestling Torch. Yeah, I'm sorry I throw it to you that, you know, I just wanted to make sure you got on the air some more tonight, Greg.
No, that's all right. I mean, we've had a lot of action, a lot of good guests on here talking about a wide range of topics, so that's always a lot of fun.
Well, we have a little time left over. I don't know of anything that's actually scheduled for Raw or SmackDown that I, you know, actually anything that's scheduled for either show at all.
It's all a blur. Watch Raw and SmackDown, and then, you know, you have Thanksgiving break, and I've been taking in Survivor Series, as I talked about. If something was announced, I've plumb forgotten it by now. So it's quite possible, but I just don't remember.
All right, I also wanted to get this in while I could. My work schedule, my schedule at my other job, you know, the one that, you know, like, pays me full time, might be changing. So there might be a Sunday come along in the near future where you will tune into the show and Greg will be hosting and somebody else will be hosting with him and I'll be at work, basically. And I don't know when that's going to happen or even 100% if that's going to happen, but when it does, I know that you people will stick with Greg because Greg does a great job on this show and is becoming a star here at PW Torch and PW Torch Livecast, and I definitely appreciate – I mean, I definitely could not have launched – you know, definitely would not have wanted to launch this show without you, Greg.
Well, thank you, Pat, and I know that if I have to find another co-host or go solo, that you will be with me in spirit.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. I will definitely be doing that. Yes. Okay. Well, listen, it's been great. It actually has been a great show. I've enjoyed all of it, and I want to thank Hurricane Helms, and I want to thank Colt Cabana and Bruce Mitchell and, of course, Greg Parks, and you, the PW Torch Livecast listeners who have stuck with us on Wrestling Night in America as this great experiment has continued. We'll be here in some form or another next week. Greg, thank you very much. Hope you have a great week.
Yes, you too, Pat.
And I know we talked briefly about everything that's available as a VIP member here on PWTorch.com. We're going to let Mr. Announcer Guy take it from here, and we'll be back next week. Good night, everybody.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The every single day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Past Show with scouting reports on prospects, and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
Blog Talk.